Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as...
How many more championships do you guys think we're going to predict on this year?
Gentlemen, the only question is, not will they repeat, but how many times?
You know, I don't think we're talking about a repeat, a three-peat, or even a four-peat.
That's right. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
Answer to that question is another championship, 6 and 5 years for late night sports talk. I said at the beginning of the year, Patriots are going to win a Super Bowl, and the Patriots are done. Tom Brady sucks. Yeah, and how'd that work out for everybody? What's going on, everybody? We're the best. We're just the golden gods.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is I remembered that actually I was going to pick the Patriots, too, but then I was saying, yeah, but we both shouldn't have picked the same team because,
they're odds.
So it's like as soon as they signed, I think it was I keep calling him Ty Law because I'm stuck in like 2004.
Yeah, last night you're like, hey, that Ty Law guy. I'm like, what?
That Darrelle Revis guy. As soon as they signed him, I was wanting to pick the Patriots too. But the only reason I picked the Seahawks to repeat, even though I said I don't think they're going to repeat, but they're going to do really good. But I'll pick them anyway, just so we cover more of the board.
Oh man, they do it.
Yeah,
not really surprised. The game. Fairly, went kind of how I thought it would. I thought the Patriots would run the ball a little bit better, but other than that, it unfolded the way I thought it would. Besides, well, maybe not exactly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, speaking of the unfolding, like, way you thought it would, like, Madden apparently predicted the game, the exact score, 28-24, and it even gets creepier because in that simulation, the Patriots were down 24-14 going to the fourth, same exact thing. And then even the total stats gets really creepy, too, because in real life, Brady had 328 yards, 4 touchdowns, won the Super Bowl MVP, and Madden predicted 335 yards, 4 touchdowns, the Super Bowl MVP. So they were only 7 yards off. And then even Edelman, in the simulation, he had the game-winning touchdown too. And in Madden, he had 8 catches for 106 yards, and in reality, he had 9 catches for 109 yards.
That's creepy as hell. That's because it's the power of John Madden's turduckens.
Apparently.
I got turduckens all over the place. But that was a weird finish to the game. But overall, we're the best. Late night sports talk, primetime profits. Greg won $500 on the game.
$440. But yeah,
yeah, but $500.
Yeah.
You won $1,000.
I won like $10 million yesterday.
We still can't pay for Block Talk premium servers.
Well, yeah, because it's not worth it anyways because all the views are fake regardless. Blog Talk sucks. 9/11 was an inside job. Take us down like those other guys. But,
Obama!
Yeah. that's
helicopters.
Yeah, that's Darren's bad Alex Jones impersonation for those who don't know.
1776! 1985 will rise again!
Oh, cool. I like how Alex just punches things in the background while he yells. Sounds like some like bad punching bag.
Hold on already. Oh man, they're at my door. Obama's come to take back my rights.
Obama's coming for our pork at Chipotle. It's an inside job. We're out of pork. Obama's taking our pork. Yeah, for those that don't know, Chipotle is like out of pork, and I was joking that if we ever like hung out with Alex Jones
a long time ago
at Chipotle, Alex would freak out just like that. Be hilarious.
Back to a long time ago when I went on a big rant about white people and how they shouldn't play basketball. Basically, it was my Pacers rant, my famous, infamous.
Yeah, that famous intro I compiled.
This game was like the black versus the whites.
Oh, cool. This is how you're starting your perspective. you're gonna top yourself on like being like the on the blacklist of like the blacks most wanted. You're like number one now. You just passed up George Zimmerman. Now he's just Dr. Doxa by himself.
So basically, blacks versus white.
Okay, keep going.
And it's just random tiny white guys running around the field, and the entire secondary of the Seahawks are these, like, everyone looks like a linebacker except for Richard Sherman. Like, how did they win? How did the white people win?
Hey, because they're smarter, because white power.
Okay. I didn't see that one coming. Because Tom Brady's just the ultimate white. He's just the best.
but no, honestly,
but anyways, back on topic.
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know if you want to talk about the goal line. Well, or I guess going with that prediction, like that the game wouldn't have been close if it wasn't for that random guy at a Foot Locker, that Chris Matthews guy.
Yeah.
Who, like, literally hasn't caught a pass all year, and then all of a sudden he's like, you know, he had like 2 touchdowns, he can be like Super Bowl MVP. I was like, are you kidding me?
Literally
never caught an NFL pass his entire career. He's been on the team the whole year, only played special teams, and all of a sudden he's like, he's the best receiver on the Seahawks. It's like, oh,
Super Bowl MVP if they would have won.
Yeah, and then good thing they switched over to that other cornerback from Ty Law. Who was the other cornerback?
There's a lot of them. There's that Brandon Browner.
Brandon Browner, the taller guy, to shut him down, because that's what saved the game. Because otherwise, he was just going nuts on everybody. But no, it's like,
go ahead.
I had nothing.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah. Speaking of the last drive, coming down with that, when they complete that big pass to Lynch coming down with the Seahawks, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, here we go. The Patriots are gonna lose again, and then that Antonio Freeman, as you said, miracle catch.
Yeah, I was good. After that, I was, oh my gosh, it's over.
I Tom Brady had the same look on his face that I did. I'm just like, are you serious? Like, is this really happening again? 3 lucky catches result in 3 Super Bowl wins, or 3 Super Bowl losses. I mean, and I couldn't believe it. But the whole goal line thing, like, it's a really overblown. If Wilson throws the ball right where a slant should be, right in the breadbasket,
yeah,
it's a touchdown.
Yeah, honestly, I looked at the play a couple times. Not a couple, like a bunch of times afterwards. And I actually fully defend Pete Carroll, because actually in that play, if you look at the Patriots defense, they had goal line. Like, they were stacking up the line like crazy.
Yeah.
Even though the Seahawks were in shotgun, they still stayed in goal line. So the Patriots were playing the run more than anything. And on that slant play too, if you notice, you know, the Seahawks did their weird, you know, one wide receiver behind the other, and the Patriots matched it. And you notice they have the closest receiver is guarding, you know, the closest cornerback is guarding the closest receiver. And then, you know, there's that big gap between the receiver who's like 5 yards off of line of scrimmage, and then the corner is like 10 yards off of line of scrimmage, or 7 or somewhere around there. So there's a huge gap. So what they did was they brought the closer guy, brought him outside. The guy who's further away and has that huge gap, they brought him inside of the slant, and he was wide open. But that rookie just, you know, surprised the entire world and just ran the route and jumped the route, and it was really just a lucky interception. Like, honestly, too, that play was open. Like, if Russell Wilson would have thrown it, but I don't even blame on Russell Wilson either, but if he would have thrown it, like, just like a half a second earlier, it would have been caught. But the reason he waited purposely is just to wait to make sure he's going to get in the end zone, because if he would have caught it, would have, you know, just been a touchdown. So it's perfect timing to try and score on that play. But that was just a, you know, like, no one was expecting this rookie guy to make a play. And it's funny too, because speaking of the whole working at Foot Locker, that guy was actually working at a what was it again? Oh yeah, he was working at a Popeye's Chicken beforehand. So it's like apparently the NFL superstars like who's next? Like, people working at McDonald's? Like, they're just like recruiting, like, people at fast food chains and malls to see who can play football now.
Does that mean I have a chance? Does that mean I have a chance at being a wide receiver for the Patriots, maybe?
There shouldn't even draft. They should just, like, go to all the Foot Lockers and Popeyes.
Let's go to Chipotle.
Players. Yeah, we'll just start a Chipotle team.
But with that throw, I mean, if it was a little too far out in front and a little too high, but still, like, it wasn't an awful throw. I mean, the guy made a play on the ball. It's the bottom line.
Well, he just did that to lead him into the end zone, that throw.
Yeah.
And
but
the receiver was slower, but it's like nobody was expecting that.
And the guy made a great play on the ball. He changed the game right there. He read it and he jumped it. That's the bottom line.
He bounced off of him and held on to coverage and everything. And that was a great
catch.
Because, I mean, normally it's like, you know, the reason why they – because that was either, you know, be incomplete pass or it was like most likely it's going to be batted down. Either he, you know, reaches in, does like the Charles Tillman long arm play and bats it down in between his hands, or it's going to be, you know, just like he catches it, but then he gets hit and he loses the ball, or he catches it and he's just short. But no, I mean that was the right play. And Pete Carroll was saying too that he was gonna call that play so then he could run it on, you know, third and fourth down, so then keep the Patriots, you know, at least slightly guessing, or maybe try and run a draw or something, or who knows.
Yeah, I would have ran probably a read option if I had to run in there. But the Patriots were going out there to stop Marshawn Lynch. So I don't know where these people are getting. Now they should have ran with Lynch.
Yeah,
like, I don't get it. To me, it doesn't make any sense.
He was stopped for no yards before, and they were saying, oh, well, on the last, you know, he was running downfield and he just ran for 5-6 yards. Well, yeah, they let him run for 5-6 yards because Well, I guess it was first down, but still, like, they let them get those 5 yards because they knew – because the Patriots defense was playing the pass because they knew if they run it, they're going to get close and they're not going to score, and that's all they're trying to do is stop them from scoring.
It was a drama-filled game. I mean, when Brady came back and he tied the game – or he took the lead, I guess, to Edelman, sitting there thinking, all right, let's see what Wilson's got, because Wilson's been really clutch. He was 10-0 against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks going into that game. Not that that means anything. He hadn't beaten Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, but when that drive started, I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, this sucks. Like, this is horrible. And I didn't see that interception coming at all. I thought it was going to be. It took me a second to realize that the guy actually caught the ball, and I'm just sitting there in disbelief. And then I felt like the Bears won the Super Bowl. Like, I loved the Patriots so much that it almost felt like my team won the Super Bowl. It felt very similar to when the Spurs won this past year for me.
Well, yeah,
I love it. I'm so happy.
Because we both predicted those before the season even happened. So it was like, I mean, and for those who don't know, the six championships come from 2010 Blackhawks, and these are all before the season. 2010 Blackhawks, 2011 Mavericks, 2012 Ravens, 2013 Blackhawks, 2014 Spurs, and now the 2014 Patriots. So that's six titles in 5 years, soon to be seven.
We're the best. We'll be in Robert Horry territory soon.
Jordan Pippen, Punzu and Doxie.
We didn't have to take off 2 years to win six championships.
Yeah, we did it in five. We did the impossible.
Yeah, we're on a 5-peat right now, or on a 6-peat, I guess, yeah. We're on a 6-peat, so.
Did 6-peat, but we did it in 5 years, so we can, like, lose next year. It's, like, still technically, like, a 6-peat.
We could take off.
Yeah, that middle 8-peat, we're going to have, like, change our intro, because once we get past 8, it's, like, we need, like, another bit, because it's not going to work. It's, like,
no, that's what we just – that's, like, minimal 6-peat, and we play all of our prediction recordings.
And, or when we, like, minimal 8-peat, and then you just play all the stuff.
Yeah,
but
done.
it's like the problem is because it's radio. You'd have to like, how will they know what that date's from?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I we're like too good. Like, you know, super fans were created to be like these, you know, fans who come up with impossible standards. But we kind of blew away the impossible standards, so we're just too good for, we're too good for our own good.
Well, soon we'll be living in Vegas and we'll be making a lot of money betting on sports.
Yeah, that's true. Made my first $200 or $440. It's, you know, $10 million.
Well, if you actually get it, if you don't get ripped off.
Yeah, I'll find a way. But yeah, I guess apparently in my notes I wrote down Marshawn Lynch. Now I might Google it if that's an accident. But I don't know if he needs Tommy John, because I thought that would be
Sherman.
Yeah, Richard Sherman needs Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I pretty much expected that to happen.
I kind of like that they didn't throw to him at all, but it's like I would have tried it just because he was injured, but that was a smart idea. That's the thing I like about the Patriots is guys like him and Ed Reed, they'll literally just take you completely out of the game like you don't even exist if you're that good. That's how you know you're a good player in the NFL, is if Bill Belichick totally ignores you.
I forgot Richard Sherman was even playing. Until they showed him on the sideline talking shit to Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
But the thing with Sherman, it's like, I don't know. He's great, but he only plays one side of the field usually. He, like, Tillman and Revis, not that Tillman's as good as Sherman, but you know what I mean. Those guys always followed one receiver around. It seems like Sherman tends to stay on one side of the field, and that's pretty much it. But regardless, when that corner went out for Seattle, I don't remember who his name, what is it, Lane. When Lane went out, that changed the game right there, because Tom Brady went at Lane every single time he could.
Or when, Jeremy Lane. Yeah, that was really gruesome. For those who didn't see the picture, that was an extremely gruesome broken arm. Like, that was the same. That was like just the arm equivalent of Kevin Ware and Paul George. It's crazy because these man, the injuries, like, universally, it's insane how they're just skyrocketing. Like, nobody knows why, but everyone has their theories. This is just ridiculous. So many injuries. Like, especially that, like, nobody ever broke their leg like that or broke their arm. That's no. Three in the last, like 2 years. Not even three, like, in the last year and a half.
I can't. The only bad injury like that I remember is Phil Simms with Lawrence Taylor. That's it. That's pretty much the only thing I remember that was like that. And now it's just every year something else happens. I'm wondering when something, you know, when's it going to happen to someone like LeBron? Not that that happened to LeBron, but like a big name like that. We can't get lucky enough for it to happen to LeBron. But
we pray every day.
This show, we used to be nice, politically correct. And now we're like, yeah, whites versus blacks. LeBron would be breaking his leg.
That's just a joke, but the LeBron hate, that's real.
Yeah, that's totally. Like, I respect him because he's a good player, but I hate his guts.
Well, and plus, we're right about the two times you lost, too.
Yeah.
You pick the Spurs, you know, to go against them and everything, so.
Yep. I'll never forget that. Oh, the Spurs lose because they, you know, LeBron missed the game-winning shot and then jacked up a bad thing and Ray Allen saved his ass. Whatever. Then, the day, I think I just said it that night. I was like, well, the Spurs will go back next year and they're going to win.
Yep. And then me with the Mavericks, too. But that was like.
Oh, my God.
Like,
that was crazy.
That's where the predictions come from. Although now we're when it comes to basketball, usually when we're not sure, that means that we know that LeBron's probably going to win again, but we don't pick LeBron, so we just don't make a pick.
Pretty much, yeah, it doesn't count against us. We're just like, LeBron's going to win, can't pick him.
Because we probably want to go with the Warriors if that's how it's going to turn out, but I don't know. That West is going to be insane. Going to be the Wild West for sure. Nobody knows
if the Warriors' 3-point shot continues to work, then they're going to win the championship. But it's going to come a time where that shot stops working, and they're going to have to play defense. They're going to have to generate points elsewhere, and they're not big enough inside to go against the big teams. Like, honestly, the Thunder might give them issues with Ibaka and Adams and Perkins.
Yeah, it's going to be
if the Thunder make the playoffs. I mean, that's not even a guarantee.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is Thunder kind of falling apart. I think it's – I don't know if it's because of Scott Brooks. I haven't watched the Thunder close enough, but even with – just because Scott Brooks is your head coach, they have no shot anyways. Like, even with all that talent, it's just not going to work.
I'm looking at the standings for the Western Conference now.
Plus, 2012, the West wasn't as strong as it was – I mean, or 2012, yeah, it wasn't as strong as it is, I mean. Because now the West is just insane. And the Blazers are a really, you know, great team, too, that could – because, I mean, if Aldridge can't miss and Lillard keeps taking over, the Blazers are going to upset so many teams in the West.
Good team. Aldridge, really good team.
Aldridge has the most, like, annoying, like, fadeaway in your – like, just shooting your face, like, 12 times, make it all 12 times. It's like there's just no way around it.
Well, and then that – who's the point guard out there? Lowry, is that his name?
No, Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard. I always get those two names confused. Lillard's legit. Like, that dude, that's a bad dude. That's a good team. That's a team a lot of people are sleeping on. I mean, the Spurs, I think the Spurs thing's finally done. I think they're just, it's been a changing of the guard now. They're championship drunk anyway, so who knows? We can't judge them until next year. So you look at the Golden State. Memphis is a team people got to be scared of, too, because that Marc Gasol thing is crazy. It's the Memphis Marc Gasols at this point. I think they'll lose in the playoffs, but they're going to be dangerous. They could go to the finals. Houston has been playing with Dwight Howard a lot. And when Dwight comes back, he's been a little more aggressive this year. He's been a better player.
Yeah, and Bulls playing tomorrow, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, man, we got to watch the Bulls again. Holy crap. And the Clippers are overrated, and then the Mavericks are dangerous, but I don't trust them. I mean, Oklahoma City right now, you're looking at 3 games out of the playoffs right now. That's tough in the West. 3 games, that's a lot. They got to win. I mean, they're only 500. They're 24-24. That's rough.
Well, yeah, and it's mostly because in the West, like, there honestly could be an 8-seed or 7-seed upset very easily in the West. It's probably going to happen. Because the West, I mean, just look at, like, the win differences. Like, from the 2nd seed to, like, the 8th seed, not the 8th seed, but the 2nd seed to the, like, the Spurs have 18 losses and Memphis only has 12. So they're only, like, 6 games apart, and that's the difference between 2nd seed and 7th seed.
A team like Memphis could get upset by San Antonio, but it's not really an upset. San Antonio probably will win the series, although I don't know. Memphis beat them a couple of years ago.
So honestly, the first round in the West might be the most exciting part of the NBA, like more than the finals and everything.
That's the best teams, because look at the East. I mean, come on. Atlanta versus Charlotte, that's going to be a sweep. Atlanta's really good. Toronto against Miami, that might be a pretty good series, because Miami's actually a pretty good team. Milwaukee, how the hell are the Bucks in the playoffs? Where have I been?
I know, Bucks like got a lot better.
But it's
mostly because of Jason Kidd, that's why.
Oh, my God. The Bulls could end up playing. Oh, I think the Cavs will end up being the first seed, maybe. I don't know, Atlanta, there are a lot of games ahead right now.
Just like the war of the punt guards. You got like Jason Kidd versus Steve Kerr versus Derek Fisher.
Like, look, imagine if Chicago had to play Cleveland first round.
Yeah, it would be rough because that's just such a bad matchup for the Bulls. That's honestly why it's like, as much as I want to pick the Bulls, it's like I just don't see how they can get past Cleveland, because basically teams where Powell gets shut out, like against the Wizards with Nene and against the Cavs with that big Russian guy, like then they're just done. Because once Powell's shut out, then Derrick Rose has to take over. And speaking of which, my favorite with Derrick Rose for you guys is I think they should just play the, like, let Rose do, like, give him a deadline, but make it really long, because you've invested so much money at this point and you really need to see what this guy can do. Just give him a deadline and just give him the ball like crazy. Just let him do whatever he wants. Let him take all the shots he wants. Just see if he can get back in that MVP form. And then if he doesn't by that deadline, basically you just want to figure out who he is now. Like, who is he and what can he do? And that's the only way you're going to figure it out. So just, like, speed up that, you know, that recuperating process and that, you know, where he relearns all of his abilities so you actually see what you got. Because if you don't know what you have, then in the playoffs, you're not going to be able to game plan against teams to be able to win. So you have to see what you have in Derrick Rose as soon as possible to adjust.
He feels like he's getting better every game, but it seems like he's getting worse right now.
Well, he just got, like up and downs. That's his thing. And this whole team just, like, it's so crazy how they, with the destroying the great teams and getting blown out by bad teams over and over.
The thing with Derek is, like, your ball handling is just completely awful at this point. He can't hold on to the, like, my ball handling is as good as Derek Rose at this point. He's just faster than me, and I'm really white.
yeah, but I thought that meant you're
yeah,
just
but
better.
I'll probably shoot better than him in a pickup game. But.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they play the Rockets tomorrow. They played good against the Rockets last time. That should be a good game.
Well, yeah, because the Rockets are good. Like Reddit calls them the streak busters. Like, they'll go beat the Warriors, and then they'll, like, the Lakers have a huge losing streak, so then they'll go lose to the Lakers, so then they can destroy their streak. So I do
this. Then the Bulls got the Pelicans. The Pelicans now. I can't keep up with these stupid names. The Pelicans, and Anthony Davis will probably wreck anybody we have inside. Like, that will actually be interesting. Cause we haven't seen him this year yet, have we?
I don't know. Is he really strong? Because if he's not strong, then Noah should shut him out, because Noah's only, you know, can't stop the, like, Shaq's his ultimate weakness. So, like, guys like Nene.
He's strong, but he's not, like, that strong.
Yeah, then I think the Bulls should do fine against him.
Yeah, they might be okay. So, if the Bulls can, oh, man, the Bulls have got it. This is rough. They got to really pull it together.
It really just comes down to when when Pau Gasol is shut down, you have to get consistent scoring from Butler or Rose, or they have to figure it out, or Rose has to be able to take over again. That's honestly the only thing that's stopping this team from winning the finals is that one and only thing.
I'm going to tell you something. If Thibs doesn't start playing Mirotić more, I'm going to start hating Thibodeau. Like, I can't stand him right now because he's only playing. I mean, I know Mirotić has been struggling a lot. He hasn't been shooting well. He hasn't been playing very well.
It's because he's a rookie, too. That's the other reason.
Yeah, he's hitting that rookie wall, but keeping him. It's fuck you, Thibs.
Well, it's because of Thibs. I mean, Thibs used to never even play rookies before. It was like, for Mirotić to even get this many minutes already is a miracle. And now if he messes up at all, then it's like, I have to preserve you because we got to win these games.
He definitely hit the rookie wall, but you got to let him break through that wall. He's got a nice beard. Like, he'll play him. He'll be fine. And the beard adds +3 to his three.
Yeah, I just think you have to see what you have in Derrick Rose. And it's like, especially now, get the experiment over as soon as possible, and you'll be set. I mean, it's not even like to give him a deadline, be like, oh, if you don't play this good, we're trading you. Like, just see what you have. So then you can adjust and build the team around him. But you don't even know what you have. That's the problem.
It's really bad. Like, I want it to be good again. I'm just hoping that it's going to be better than what it is now, because this has been really rough. But he has gotten consistently better, and he's still super clutch, and he shoots. He's just the same guy with shooting. He's really streaky. Like, he'll go like 7 for 11, and then he'll go, you know, 0 for 11 from 3. He's the same guy he's always been with that. At least it seems that way right now.
And just in his MVP year, he's more consistent and more explosive.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, athletically, he has all the ability. Like, that's what I was saying, potentially, like, long-term, I think he can be even better than he was, like, better than ever, and just be, like, a more consistent shooter than he was his MVP year, because he's already finally gotten that aggressiveness back. I think you just have to let him, you know, get through these like, awkward, like, regrowth periods and redevelopment periods and just let him play bad so he gets better. Like, just let him, like, treat this as his, like, preseason. It's like you need to get all the interceptions out of you and everything and just so he can finally get it together later on.
Yeah, I mean, with him, when we started out the year where he wasn't attacking, he was doing that floater a lot, which is fine. It worked a lot. But now he seems to be driving more and not doing the floater, and he's not taking as much mid-range. He's developed this weird thing with his mid-range shot. I don't know if you've picked up on it, where he'll, like, always fade to one side. Like, it's like he gets sucked into the 2K thing. Like, his legs always kick out to the right. It's like, what are you doing? Like, it's really bad. Just go back to the gym and learn to shoot proper. Like, it's like his form has been messed up, and I think that's why his shot's struggling. I could just be crazy, but he does it a lot, and his legs will go to the side. You saw it in the game winner. I mean, granted, there was a step back there, but it's like his form has sort of changed, and I think that's affecting him.
Well, he just doesn't have a mid-range game anymore. That's his problem. Is he forgot that, like, in 2010 and back, like, that was his game was mid-range, and then if you take away my mid-range, I'm going to drive on you, and that was it. And then what made him unstoppable was then once he added that three-point game in 2011, which wasn't even much of a three-point game. It was just that small amount of a threat was what made him unstoppable because of his driving a mid-range game. So then it's like, you know, when you are all the way back at three-point line, you have to guard that. Then you start driving in, and then the guy has two options, either take away the layup and you pull up for mid-range right away, or to take away the shot and he just drive on his face all the time and just keep making the shot like double coverage all the time or triple coverage or whatever. But that's
when he starts hitting shots again, that's when the driving will open up more. I mean, the problem is he's not getting any calls either, and that's how a lot of his game is getting to the line and driving and hitting free throws. So I don't know. Something's got to give soon. I mean, the guy has the confidence. Like, most players come back from this injury and they just don't have the confidence. They're never the same guy. He seems to be staying healthy. We had that one little scare where it looked like his knee buckled, but I don't know what that was. I know he's fine, and luckily they got a lot of rest since then as well. That, you know, this team could have needed some rest, too, as far as regular season goes. So maybe the All-Star break's coming at the perfect time, and then they can really sit down and work on things. But the thing with the Bulls is their defense is just really – It looks like they're not trying on defense. Like, that's what it looks like to me. I could be wrong. I mean, Rose is not – Rose is weird, too, with defense. He shuts down Steph Curry, but I could score 30 points on him. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, how about you just try against everybody? Like, just try hard like everyone used to. I don't know. Is this team going to be one of those teams that gets to the playoffs and all of a sudden they turn on and it's like, oh, time to be good because we have to because it's the playoffs and we'll lose and we'll be eliminated. I can't judge this team. I don't know. I still don't think we're seeing the real thing.
Well, another thing, too, is the main reason why I can't pick them is because you can't have this, like, back and forth, like, oh, Flair, Coach Thibs, oh, the Bulls are winning the finals. Like, you can't have this back and forth, like, games against the Warriors and games against the Lakers. Well, it's not even that. It's mostly just you can't have this talk about your head coach being fired, like, every other day and win a finals like that. Like, that's just not going to happen. It's not like the NFL, like, with Tom Coughlin. Although the Giants, like defied, like, every logic rule of all time. Well, I'm not even going to mention that. Let's not even bring that up because that's, like the worst quarterback ever. And then he gets in the postseason. He's the greatest quarterback ever. And Tom Coughlin, they're, like, 8-8, and they, like, win the Super Bowl. It's like, they never made any sense ever. But,
no sense.
But no, it's like in the NBA, or at least with this team, you can't have this, like, Thibs is here, and, oh, Thibs is getting fired. Oh, Thibs is fine. You can't have that. Because it's just like there's no – like the whole organization as a whole can't get any chemistry when things are like that.
I another thing with the Bulls team, I think Rose and Butler need to learn to play together a lot more. Like they had that half-court alley-oop against the Suns, which was awesome. But it needs to happen more. Like those two in transition need to happen more, and that just comes with rebounding.
But it's like that's why, like, Rose, you need to see what you have in him first so then – you can't build chemistry if your skill set keeps changing. Like, if Derrick Rose is super inconsistent and now you know, this game he's really good, and then next game he's really bad, and then, like, he doesn't know what he's capable of either, and the team doesn't know, so they don't know how to set him up because he doesn't know either. So it's like you have to know what you have in him first, because you already know what you have in Jimmy Butler and everybody else, because you just have to see what Derrick Rose has. And then once Derrick Rose is finalized and everybody knows what he can and can't do, then you can finally build the, you know, full team chemistry that's going to take you through into the finals. And then hopefully if the team listens to Fibs and they stop the firing talk, then this team will still win the finals even with the bad Cavs and matchups.
That's
happens.
It's going to be real. Although, you know, Rose will bring it because he's going against Kyrie. So Rose, the least of my worries in that series, if he's back to being consistent.
Yeah, because last time against Kyrie just blew him out of the water, and Rose knew it and gave up trying to beat him. So it's like you just have to get this experiment with over with right away.
But yeah, Kyrie's on fire right now.
Yeah, Cavs are on fire in general. It's like it's pretty – like that was the best trade ever.
LeBron sort of looks a little more like LeBron now. It just and Kevin Love isn't even moving in that thing, that project. Like, he's there, but he's just watching at this point. When they get him involved,
it's really that Moskov guy or whatever. He made all the difference.
They hire some Russian, and the whole team changes.
Yeah, and that, and then J.R. Smith apparently can't miss a shot now. He's like the greatest 3-point shooter of all time. He just pull-ups in your face like it's a video game, and just hits a shot no matter what.
And he used to be. I was like, oh man, cool. They got J.R. Smith. They're not gonna be able to hit a shot. Now he's like Ray Allen. And they might get Ray Allen, too. You never know.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that'll steal a deal. Then it doesn't matter what the Bulls do. If the Cavs get Ray Allen back, it's over. Cavs win. It's done.
Plus 2011 Derrick Rose comes back.
And even with 2011 Derrick Rose, I still think it's done. Because I don't think if like, Mozgov is going to shut down Powell, and then it's like just put LeBron on Derrick, and then, like, on Butler, like, Butler just can't really take over in that way. Only if it's, like, the end of the fourth quarter. That's the only time he can really take over. He can't take over a whole goal. All he can do for the rest of the game is just drive in and, like, act like he just got, like stabbed in the face, and that's it. But then
you need Mirotić.
Yeah, Mirotić isn't, like, a takeover guy. He's like, if you let me open for three, I'll hit the shot. Otherwise, I'm, like, an above-average basketball player, but I'm getting better.
That's just for now.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Philly's the new Bulls star, and they trade Derrick Rose away because they don't need him anymore.
It's like maybe next year if they hang on to everything and hang on to Fibs and, like, the team works its chemistry and Rose is finalized and Mirotić is better because, you know, other than Powell, everyone's only going to get better from here. And Powell, the way he's looking, he could be just as good next year. So maybe next year is more of the light at the end of the tunnel just because they're not used to each other and stuff. But
they got to give this thing one more year. Like, they can't get rid of Fibs this year. Like, even if
they can't get rid of Fibs, like, ever. Like,
I know. But especially, this Bulls, Aaron Brooks probably won't be here next year. I think he's on a 1-year deal.
Wow. That's
but regardless,
really loss.
It'd be cool if you can keep him. I don't know. The Bulls, I feel like this just isn't the year for this Bulls team. Next year would be the year. Why is it always, this just turned into the Cubs? It's like, oh, next year the Bulls are going to be really good. Watch, Derrick Rose is going to come back. Next year are going to be great. Ah, we got Powell. It's going to be this year. Ah, next year we're going to be good.
Derrick Rose has turned into like Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor, and it's Cubs all over again.
I know.
It's just like Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood combined. And Powell's like Sammy Sosa now.
Yeah, Joakim Noah is just Mark. He's Zambrano. Carlos Zambrano.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just
holding them together.
Except he doesn't beat up Gatorade bottles. He can keep his or not bottles, beat up the whole machine. And he killed the machine. Part. Like blew up. I was like, honestly, for all my time watching baseball, that was like my favorite moment was the Carlos Zambrano like blew up the Gatorade machine.
Yeah, that was the nicest Gatorade machine I've ever seen in my life. And he just beat the shit out of it.
It's like, that's why baseball is not my sport. When I like the people blowing up in the dugout more than actual baseball, like by a million, like that way better.
I went to the Rays Cubs game in 2008. It was like right after Carlos Zambrano beat the shit out of that thing, and I wanted to see it so bad. I was like, oh god, I hope he freaks out. That'd be awesome. He was the best. I love Big Z.
Yeah, I mentioned it before and always be hating myself ever since that I could have gone to that Zambrano no-hitter because it was in Milwaukee and everything.
Oh, my God.
But I had just gone – I think that was, like, right after they played the Brewers, so I had literally just gone to, like, 4 games. I was like, hey, am I really going to 5th one? It's like, hey, this is a weird game. I think it was against some bad team. I was like, hey, it's going to be a blowout. I just went to, like, 6 games. I'll just stay home. Worst decision of all time. Then he hits a no-hitter.
Yeah.
By far the worst decision of all time. God. Go ahead.
Carlos Zambrano is just who I wanted to be when I was playing baseball.
I was build-wise, I was Carlos Zambrano. I even kind of looked like him, like kind of tan, but like Italian and not Mexican. That was like me in high school, basically.
When I in high school baseball, that's kind of how I was. That's funny.
Oh, cool. Did you actually have like a tan back then too?
I was outside more, yeah. Cause of baseball.
Oh, cool. So we're just like doubles and Zambranos out there.
I had baggy pants and everything. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, I had like the same baggy pants. I had like my Zambrano like jersey shirt too that I would wear.
Oh my god!
Like the game.
I'm looking at the video now. He beat the hell out of this thing. He freaks out, chucks the ball. Well, he freaks out, then the ref throws him out. Then he throws the ref out. Then he throws the ball out into the outfield. And then
he
picks up
a bat and beats
the shit out of it.
Send me that link. I don't want to watch it now. But yeah, this is just random news. I just find the cover is the most random like tidbit ever. It's like we need like a segment where we're like a like those news updates, like scoreboard update. But yeah, with Johnny Manziel going into rehab, like honestly, I blame ESPN and all the major media for that because they hyped him up so much. Like he's never gonna live up to that hype. Everybody knows this kid's not even that good. He probably even knew, although he started believing the hype. Everyone hyped the crap out of him. Then what does he do? He comes out mediocre, and now he can't handle it because, he has so much expectations he can never live up to. So now he's like, I mean, nobody knows exactly why when it was probably for partying and stuff, but still, it's like now he's always going to be depressed because he's never going to live up to those expectations, and the media is never going to take responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah, I agree. That was very media-created, much like everything in this world today.
Yeah, much.
And Johnny Manziel sucks. He can't even throw a football.
I mean, he's just like the ultimate. He barely got away with what he did in college. So to expect
that in the
NFL is never going to happen. Wow.
Well, NFL or college defense has figured him out, so he's not going to be good.
In college, like, you don't even play defense. Well, now it's like you play more defense in the NFL. I forgot all about this stuff where he threw the ball and threw the glove. I don't even remember this.
Well, I like it. The ref throws him out, then he does the same gesture and throws the ref out.
Watch this now. Oh, yeah, I forgot he took a baseball bat and started beating the crap out of it.
Like, why the Gatorade machine?
Because it's the Gatorade machine's fault. Was that Lou whatever his name is, taking the bat away over there?
Yeah, probably. Let me bring it back up.
Lou Piniella's like, okay, calm down, Carlos, and he takes his bat. It's funny because, like, for some reason, I don't know if all the players were totally, like, scared of this guy that he was literally going to kill him, but they always defended Carlos and said he had no temper problems ever. And he was, oh, yeah, Carlos is a totally fine, normal guy. Like, all the time. You never heard anybody say, oh, Carlos is totally nuts. Never. Like, out of all of his teammates, did that ever happen in Florida or anything where they finally said the real deal about Carlos?
No, everybody loved Carlos.
It was crazy.
It just didn't work out with him and Ozzie Guillen. It wasn't a good combination. That whole team just wasn't very good.
Yeah, the whole organization kind of just died. But
yeah,
they're getting good now. I still believe it. I got to see that. I got to see the Cubs up 3 games in the World Series before I believe it.
Oh, the Cubs this year, they're winning the division. That's for sure.
So should I do my MLB futures and actually bet that?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but if I lose money, I'm going to be mad.
Cause the Cubs are bringing up their next top, the top prospect in MLB this year, which is it's Chris Bryant. He's going to be awesome.
So there's, like, no chance that they don't win that division unless the Brewers are, like, shockingly good.
Or unless there's injuries. I mean, the Cubs should win the division because the first baseman is predicting it.
Also, other random news, the Ravens nose tackle, Terrence Cody, he apparently got charged with abusing an illegally owned alligator. So it's like, I don't know. It's like you can't make this stuff up. So apparently he owned an alligator and like abused it and beat it up all the time. So it's like,
oh, cool. Oh, and then Warren Sapp got arrested for soliciting prostitution today.
Oh, cool.
Been fired from NFL Network.
Wow, just for that
update. Yep.
Wow. It's like not even
an assault. Yep. An assault, I think.
Oh, and assault. Okay. Well, yeah, but assault doesn't even mean it. Like, assault sounds like such a bigger word than it is. Like I'd be like, hey, fuck you. That's assault. You're in jail. It's like, oh, cool.
Oh, cool. We just assault all our everybody all the time. Then.
Yeah, that's over. We're just the professional assaulters. We're just the prime time insulters with Darren and Greg.
Oh, cool.
The prime time. All right, but yeah, I guess I'm pretty much out of stuff. Did you have
I'm mad at stuff too.
All right, good. All right, we're.